Today on Day One, you'll hear an encore presentation of a Day One program for this fourth Sunday in Easter with host emeritus, Reverend Peter Wallace, featuring the Reverend Susan Sparks.
We all experience tragedy and pain and loss, sometimes in horrible and unexplainable ways. And we ask why. And that's okay. God gave us a brain to question and to wonder. The trick is not to get stuck in that place of questioning.
That's the Reverend Susan Sparks, and today she brings you a challenging message of faith called Just Keep Walking. I'm Peter Wallace. It's Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insights and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host emeritus, the Reverend Peter Wallace.
Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Susan Sparks, senior pastor of Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York, New York. Susan was formerly a trial lawyer and for a number of years has been a popular stand-up comedian. She is a graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where she earned her law degree, and Union Theological Seminary in New York City, where she received her Master of Divinity degree. She is the author of several books, including Laugh Your Way to Grace, Grace-Filled Gratitude, a 40-Day Joy Journal, and Love, a Tiara, and a Cupcake, Three Secrets to Finding Happy. Susan, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
You were last with us just before the pandemic lockdown. In fact, we were about to have a special Day One gathering with you as part of the Laugh in Peace tour with your partner comedians, and we had to cancel it at the last minute, but we hope to reschedule that soon. But I've seen you three comedians all over the TV promoting the tour on the Tamron Hall Show, CBS New York. So what's happening with you, your three amigos?
Well, Peter, it's nice to be back on site again.
Yes.
You know, we tried to do the comedy show through COVID via Zoom. And can I just tell you, to try to do comedy with people muted on Zoom, that's not easy.
Mm-mm.
So it's really nice to be back with a live audience. So we've had shows in Indianapolis. We've had shows in New York City. We're looking forward to coming to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful to be back with a live audience.
So tell us about your team.
Yes. I'm very privileged to be working with Rabbi Bob Alper and Muslim comic Gibran Salim in the Laugh and Peace Tour, which was actually put together right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Alper wanted to be able to put a conversation about the way that we find common ground through the lens of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been going ever since and have appeared globally for the past 20 years.
Great. So the church you serve as senior pastor, Madison Avenue Baptist Church in Manhattan, is celebrating its 175th anniversary this year. Amazing. And you've been pastor for most of those years, is that right? Just kidding.
It feels like it.
So how is this special year unfolding for the church?
Well, it's a really exciting time, Peter. You know, we're going to have a homecoming in the fall to invite some of our old members back that— And it's an interesting way to think about it, too, with our global family, because we have, even larger than our on-site congregation, we have a global family that comes in from all over the world. And so we're trying to make sure that that homecoming celebrating our 175th brings in our entire family with an on-site as well as a global and cyber element to it, too.
Susan, in addition to your stand-up performances, you're also becoming a professional storyteller. How's that different?
Well, that's a great question, Peter. You know, comedy has a very quick setup and punch. Storytelling actually has a much longer setup before a quote-unquote punchline or a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that my natural rhythm in communicating is kind of a hybrid of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to do stand-up. It's a great art form to study. But storytelling really kind of reaches down into my North Carolina mountain roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding it just a wonderful tool for preaching, but also something that just makes my heart happy.
Mm-hmm. Susan, you are a breast cancer survivor. Thank God for that. And you've been doing a lot of speaking and workshops for survivors, as well as on women's spirituality. What happens at events like those?
It's a very holy experience, Peter. Mm-hmm. These women have gone through, you know, everything from fear and anxiety to, you know, some really horrendous physical pain and surgeries. And to be able to stand in solidarity with them, mm-hmm. to share that journey, and to cry together, to laugh together, and to heal together, I feel very privileged and honored to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Susan, you've written several wonderful, helpful, funny, and meaningful books over the years, including your bestseller, Laugh Your Way to Grace, in which you share your life journey, as well as Preaching Punchlines, The Ten Commandments of Comedy, and Love, A Tiara, and A Cupcake. Plus, you write a syndicated newspaper column, Shiny Side Up. How do you find the time to write, and what are you working on now?
Well, I'm actually working on a memoir, Peter, called Soul Searching, S-O-L-E. Searching. And it's a play because, you know, I'm addicted to cowboy boots, which is my thing. I always preach with cowboy boots in the pulpit to kind of remind me of my grounding and my call. So I'm working on a memoir around that soul searching idea. And it's kind of my story, my journey, my call with lessons interwoven that I have found along the way.
Wonderful. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, the psalm appointed is one of everyone's favorites, Psalm 23. Would you read it for us?
Yes, I will. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Like many others, this is one I've memorized, and when I wake up in the morning, I recite it in my head along with several other verses and prayers. We all know and love this psalm, so I'm curious what stood out for you this time in preparing your sermon.
Peter, I had just finished a breast cancer survivor event, and I was reflecting on how angry I was when I got my diagnosis. I mean, that, you know, little two-syllable word packs a big punch, cancer, and a nurse had come in to me in the room right after I got the diagnosis, and I was crying, and she knew I was a pastor, and she said, God will take care. Don't worry, God will take care. And I have to say, she left the room, and I didn't say this, but the bubble over my head was, well, God should have taken care a little earlier, like when those cancer cells were growing. And I went through a real hard time of blame and anger and why. And this sermon, you know, it was about my own journey going through that as much as, you know, just trying to craft a sermon in a vacuum. It's my story, too.
Mm-hmm. Your sermon is titled, Just Keep Walking. Susan, thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. Today's sermon deals with the ultimate question of life. Why? Now, I'm aware that some of you choose to pronounce this word differently. For example, some people tend to say, why? It's an interesting approach, but incorrect. As I was taught from an early age in the South, the word is pronounced why. It rhymes with the word my, or pecan pie. So, again, today's message is about the ultimate question of life. Why? It is ingrained in us as human beings to ask why. We're hotwired to look for patterns, to look for cause and effect in everything. That's how we've survived for 6 million years. We learned that if you strike two stones together, for example, sparks would come out. Cause and effect. We learned that if you try and ride a woolly mammoth, you will die. Cause and effect. We start at an early age asking things like, why is the sky blue? Why are there leaves on a tree? Why do we have to eat lettuce? We continue to ask why into adulthood. We question the silly things like, why is it that when a sign says wet paint, we must touch it to be sure? We question the frustrating stuff, like the news about pandemic fraud, where it was discovered that the government gave loans to 342 people who said their name was N.A. But then there's the vast and unanswerable why about human suffering and pain. Like why that drunk driver swerved into that lane on that day in front of that car. Or why that cancer cell started growing in that person. Or why that gunman showed up at that school on that day in that classroom and aimed at that child. Why? Why do evil and suffering exist? For people of faith, this is an especially troubling question. Why do terrible things happen in a world that is supposedly governed by an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good God? The fancy term for this question is theodicy, and it's every pastor's biggest nightmare. Because if you are theologically responsible, you must be willing to stand in front of your congregation and say, I don't know. I like how the author and theologian C.S. Lewis dealt with it. Lewis lost his wife to metastatic breast cancer, and out of his questions, his why, he wrote the now famous book, A Grief Observed. In it, he said, sometimes, Lord, one is tempted to say that if you wanted us to behave like the lilies of the field, you might have given us an organization more like theirs. So many of us are in great pain. Pain from loss, pain from illness, pain from a hopeless heart. And we ask, why? We search for predictability and patterns. Unfortunately, there is no clear cause and effect. And the Bible doesn't exactly give us crisp, clear answers. Take the book of Job, for example. Their faithful Job is struck down for seemingly no reason. When he asks God why, God basically says, this is on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. Then there's the story of Lazarus. Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is about to die. Rather than hurry to his side, Jesus takes his sweet time getting there. Meanwhile, Lazarus dies. When Jesus arrives, he then raises Lazarus from the dead. Why? Why not just save Lazarus before he died in the first place? And while Jesus was at it, why didn't Jesus save all the other people in that tomb as well? Why? If we're looking for clear cause and effect in the Bible, we're not going to get it. And you know why? Because the writers of the Bible didn't have an answer either. So they presented these great questions in the forms of stories and parables and poetry, working it out, just like we are all trying to work it out ourselves, right here, right now. And here's the thing. It's okay to try and figure things out. It's okay to ask why. One of my favorite seminary professors, Dr. James Cone, had a powerful perspective on this. One day in class, someone asked him how you balance the need to ask why with the need for simple faith. And he explained that they're one and the same. To question and to wonder is to love God with one's mind. We all experience tragedy and pain and loss, sometimes in horrible and unexplainable ways. And we ask why. And that's okay. God gave us a brain to question and to wonder. The trick The trick is not to get stuck in that place of questioning. Friends, if you don't take anything else away today, take this. It's okay to ask why, but doubt and questioning are not our ultimate destination. It's simply a way station. At some point, we must start moving again. And the key to moving forward is found in our scripture today, the beloved 23rd Psalm. This is a scripture I bet we can all recite by heart. If not, you should take some time this week to put it to heart. It's always astounding how relevant these ancient scriptures are to our modern-day pain, especially the line, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil." Such a powerful statement of courage and faith. I always tend to focus on the line, "I shall fear no evil." But my dear friend and pastor, Dr. Otis Moss, has a different take. He believes that the most important word in Psalm 23 is walk. The psalmists didn't say, "Yea, though I sit in the valley of death," or "Yea, though I stand in the valley of death," or "Yea, though I am mired in the valley of death." They used the Hebrew word halach, which means to go, walk, or travel. When we focus on the word walk in Psalm 23, we realize that any time we find ourselves in the shadow of the valley of death, or the shadow of a huge obstacle, or the shadow of change and transition, the best and only thing we can do is keep walking. Just keep walking. You want to obsess over finding cause and effect? Fine. But just keep walking. You want to rail at God about your pain or misfortunes? Fine. Just keep walking. You want to ask why all the time? Fine. Just keep walking. Why? Because with movement comes meaning. The author, Rabbi Harold Kushner, lost his son at age 14 to a rare and horrible disease. But he rejected the idea that God was somehow responsible, or even that there was some rational explanation for suffering. He explained, "Let me suggest that bad things that happen to us in our lives do not have a meaning when they happen to us. But we can redeem those tragedies from senselessness by imposing meaning on them ourselves." And after struggling for years with the why, Rabbi Kushner took his pain and imposed meaning on it by writing a book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People, a book which has helped millions of people through loss like his. In short, he just kept walking. And Rabbi Kushner is not alone. From the survivors of 9/11 to the families in Newtown, Connecticut, people in the worst of tragedies have made the difficult but bold choice to keep moving. Because with movement comes meaning, and with meaning comes a reminder of the love that still surrounds us, with meaning comes a reminder to be grateful in all circumstances. Now, let me add a caveat. As we all know, storms come and go. It's easy to take things for granted after a gale of a crisis has eased. But our gratitude must stay constant. For example, here we are in a world coming out of COVID. For months, we sheltered in place. For years, we isolated. During that time, we yearned for the simplest of things. Now, we've totally forgotten those things and are back to taking life for granted. The poet and author Laura Kelly Fanucci said it this way back in the summer of 2000. "When this is over, may we never again take for granted a handshake with a stranger, full shelves at the store, conversations with neighbors, a crowded theater, Friday night out, the taste of communion, a routine checkup, the school rush each morning, coffee with a friend, the stadium roaring, each deep breath, a boring Tuesday? Life itself. Oh, how quickly we forget. We must keep walking, because with movement comes meaning, and with meaning comes gratitude, and that path will lead us home. In 1995, the Academy Award for Best Short Documentary was for a movie entitled One Survivor Remembers, based on the life of Holocaust survivor Gerda Klein. In her acceptance speech, Gerda told the story of being in a blizzard on one of the death marches, passing by homes with lights in the windows and smoke rising from the chimneys, and wanting nothing more than to simply go home again. So she kept walking. 50 years later, Gerda wrote a memoir and filmed her survival story to remember those who never came home. She ended her acceptance speech with these words: "Allow me to ask you to do one simple thing. When you return to your homes tonight, don't enter right away. Just pause for a moment and look at your house. Think about its warmth, its security, and think about the people inside, your family. Think about what they mean to you and what blessings you possess." Friends, we've all been in that vortex of trying to make sense of this crazy world, feeling angry, confused, resentful, asking why. But this cycle of questioning is not our ultimate destination. It's only a way station. For even in the places of greatest loss, love still surrounds us. And if we keep walking, eventually we'll start to connect with our blessings of lights in the windows and smoke rising from the chimneys once again. So just keep walking. Walking from pain into purpose. Walking from frustration into faith. Walking from longing and lament into love. And that love, my friends, includes the deep and constant love of God. "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Please say it with me as we close. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will keep walking, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Susan Sparks, author, comedian, and senior pastor of Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York City. To download a free transcript, you can visit us online at dayone.org. And remember, Day One depends on the gifts of faithful listeners like you. We hope you might consider being part of this ministry by making a financial donation or sharing this program with your family and friends. Our address is Day One, 3535 Peachtree Road Northeast, Suite 520/714, Atlanta, Georgia, 30326. You can hear today's message anytime on our website at dayone.org. I'm Reverend Dr. Katie Givens-Keim. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to have the Reverend Dr. David Gushy of Mercer University with us. David's sermon for this fifth Sunday of Easter is titled "Justice Denied, Except from the God of Love." Please join us next time on Day One.
Now, our Day One preacher, Susan Sparks, offers some final reflections on her sermon, Just Keep Walking. And Susan, you started out with the ultimate question of life, why or why? We all start asking that question at an early age, and we really never stop. Some of those whys can have inconsequential answers, but many of them haunt us. Why that drunk driver swerved into that lane, or why those cancer cells started growing, or why that gunman showed up at that school, as you pointed out. In short, why do evil and suffering exist? An age-old question that nobody really seems to have answered satisfactorily, at least until you solved it in your sermon today. But seriously, why do you think we humans are hardwired to ask why?
Well, Peter, I think a lot of it goes back to just survival, you know, of the human species. Mm-hmm. If you don't have cause and effect, then how do you protect yourself? How do you learn to find safe space? Mm. You know, whether it was simply in terms of a hunter-gatherer society or as we evolved into industry, you've got to understand cause and effect to be able to actually continue as a species. So the hot wiring comes literally as part of the life journey.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of whys in the Bible, as you pointed out, and the Bible's writers didn't have all the answers either, but it's okay to ask why, you said. Your seminary professor, Dr. James Cone, said the need to ask why and the need for simple faith were one and the same. He said to question and to wonder is to love God with one's mind. I love that.
I love it too.
But what if in our minds we obsess over that question? Can we go too far?
Oh, absolutely. I think we all learned that during COVID, of just ringing through question after question. And it seems to happen worst in the middle of the night. Yeah. About 2 to 3 a.m., I think, is when it's worst. But I think to me in that place, it's a matter of letting go. At some point, we have to realize that, you know, churning the questions over and over is going to do nothing but burn us down and keep us from moving forward as we need to do. So you go back again to that psalm of to keep walking, which means to put down the questions and in faith, just keep walking because the answers will come.
The key to moving forward in these why times is the 23rd psalm, you said, and in that beloved psalm, you like to focus on the line, I shall fear no evil. But our friend Dr. Otis Moss III believes the most important word in Psalm 23 is walk. The best and only thing we can do in the valley of death is just keep walking, you told us. Say more about what that would look like in our lives.
Well, I think about just daily stresses and struggles that we all have. It's so easy to get shut down by anxiety and stress these days. And just to put one foot in front of the other is tough. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to get out of bed. And I think we have to look at it from a micro level and give ourselves tiny little kind of micro congratulations as you go through the day. If it's hard to get out of the bed in the morning, just get out and celebrate. You know, there's our church has signs out front as people walk by Madison Avenue. And one of the signs was, lower your expectations and claim a victory. And I love that. I think in this case, it's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's sometimes you just have to back down the to-do list. And to keep walking means literally just take one tiny step, one tiny thing, and pause, breathe, and take another step.
Susan, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
I think it's from the scripture itself, because I love Dr. Moss's focus on the word walk. But then there's the piece right after that in Psalm 23. Why do we have the courage to walk? Because thou art with us. That's the next phrase right behind it. And so what I hope people take away is that we do have the power to take those steps because God is with us.
Susan Sparks, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It was my honor.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program was originally recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Reverend Dr. Katie Givens-Keim, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.